cholesterol continues to be a national obsession. I've heard that some doctors think statin drugs should be added to the water supply. Now, that would certainly be controversial. And in my humble opinion, terribly insulting to all those people who are successfully controlling blood lipids with diet and exercise. Yes, despite what the drug ads may imply, diet and exercise do work when you make the right changes and you stick to them. Registered dietitian Janet Bond Brill can tell you how to do that. Her book, Cholesterol Down, has been helping people control blood lipids with diet changes for years. Her book is set up like a diet prescription, with 10 clearly defined diet changes to make, what foods to use, and how much of them to eat. The promise is that you will lower your cholesterol in 4 weeks without drugs if you follow through on all 10 steps. I recently spoke with Brill about her book, and my first question was, who is the intended audience for your book?
Actually, it's written for three different groups of people, people that are already taking a statin. The second group would be for those people that were prescribed a statin medication and simply could not tolerate the statin drugs. And then the third group of people are those who are just not ready or willing to start on the statin ad bandwagon.
Do you have a feeling for how many people there are who are in fact managing with just diet, or as a percentage perhaps? I'm not sure that data exists.
Well, all I can tell you is I get emails practically every day from people around the world that tell me, that are thanking me for writing this book, because it's helped quite a few people to lower their LDL without medication.
The 10 simple steps for lowering cholesterol are set up more like a prescription than like the general diet changes you might find in other diet books. Brill set it up this way deliberately, similar to the types of instructions a person gets from their doctor.
So now you wrote the 10 simple steps in a prescription. Here's number 10, do eat this much of this and this many times a day and so on. Do you think that approach made the advice easier for people to follow or more attractive to them because it kind of hit on that prescription mentality?
1,000%. I had, as being a clinical practitioner for so many years, I really had limited success putting my patients on these traditional, low-fat, highly restrictive diets. And then I came across this idea that it'd be much more painless to give them food prescriptions and to put a positive spin on things, tell people what they should focus on what they should get into their day rather than what they should cut out of their day. And I found amazing, much greater success and much greater compliance with that approach rather than deprivation. I also wrote the book in the format of a kind of like a diet book because people love results, measurable results.
So now of these 10 steps, which ones do you see as the most critical? I mean, maybe you think, you might say, oh, they're all critical, and they are, put them together. But
oh, no, I definitely think that there are a few that are most powerful, and that would clearly be the plant sterols, phytosterols, because that's one of my favorite steps, because the beauty of them is that they're so highly effective in targeting and lowering the LDL cholesterol, and they have an excellent safety record and zero side effects. So that's one of my favorites. Another one would probably be the Metamucil, the psyllium seed husk. It works really well and it's very potent.
That's two. Anything else?
Yeah, probably oatmeal. It's a whole grain. It's a good carb. It's a great way to start off your day.
Some of the recommended changes sound pretty easy, like adding oatmeal or eating more almonds. But I wondered if Brill thought some of these changes might present a challenge to the average person.
So now, of these 10 steps, have you heard from people, or do you think there are any few that are going to present a problem for people sticking with? I mean, I didn't see that in particular. I didn't think there were.
I think that a lot of people find it hard to get the beans into their day. I think that's hard for a lot of people. Also, now people are running scared from soy. Would be a lot healthier if they less animal protein and more vegetable protein, and soy is a perfect vegetable protein.
Can you name some soy foods that you would say might make this more soy easier for people?
So as I say, I'm not crazy about the more processed soy products, mm-hmm. because they're going to throw in a lot of sodium. And, you know, sodium's the new trans fat in my book. But so I suggest that people, the easiest way is to just substitute cow's milk with soy milk, and you can get the light soy milk, so it's less calories. Edamame, people don't know that that's soybeans. That's in, you know, you can get that in a Japanese restaurant. You can actually get it in the supermarket now, frozen.
Do you hear from people regarding any of these steps that, not so much, you know, I did this, but because I did this, I stopped doing that, in terms of what they may have been choosing that was contributing to their cholesterol problems?
Well, I think the beauty of this is that if people are eating oatmeal for breakfast, they're not eating bacon and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they know it or not,
mm-hmm.
they're cutting out those foods that raise their cholesterol to begin with.
We talked a bit more about the specific food recommendations that she makes, and the discussion turned to her recommendation for flax.
The thing I would have thought was going to be a little difficult for some people was also flax.
Yeah, I prescribe 2 tablespoons of ground flax seeds a day, which I suggest the easiest way to get a lot of these steps in is to get it all in a lot of them in the morning bowl of oatmeal. You can get like 4 steps out of the way just by dumping everything in the oatmeal, and that's kind of a quick and easy way to get going on the right foot, and then make the oatmeal with soy milk instead of water. The crock pot recipe is good because people don't want to, because I always recommend a steel cut,
mm-hmm.
so it's way better, and they're also more nutritious than the instant stuff. So, but people don't want to cook them up because it takes too long. So I have this crock pot recipe, as you kind of dump everything in the night before, and then you wake up to a delicious bowl of hot steaming oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
Or else I now recommend, which they didn't have at the time I wrote this book, is the kind of quick cooking steel cut oats. So that you can microwave up really quickly, and they taste great, and they still have a lot more nutrition than the instant. That's another trick.
Now, your book promises to lower cholesterol in 4 weeks with your prescription, which if someone did follow through on all 10 of those faithfully, I'm sure that would work. So what happens then after 4 weeks?
My goal of this plan or this book is to teach people heart healthy eating and living lifestyle, a heart healthy lifestyle. So the goal is to learn to eat this way for life.
So you would recommend that people just carry on with as much of this as they can, or all of it, indefinitely?
Correct. And you don't have to, you know, follow all 10 steps. I get plenty of emails from people that, you know, for some reason or other can't do this one and this one, but get in most of them, and they're having great success.
So are there any recipes that you would point out in the book as being particularly, your favorites, or ones that people have mentioned as being easy to do, or that have the most bang for the buck in terms of how many of these 10 recommendations are involved, such as with oatmeal, for example? Anything come to mind?
Well, all of the recipes have at least one, usually quite a few of the steps. But I think some of my favorites, I love the lentil soup, because lentils are phenomenal protein source.
Brill also mentioned the recipe for walnut-encrusted salmon as one of her favorites. The book has lots of other recipes that make use of the foods she recommends in the 10-step program. And as she noted, many of the recipes combine more than one of those foods. The program is all about adding healthy foods, but of course, if you add new foods, you end up cutting back on other foods. We discussed how removing foods might also help lower cholesterol by default.
And we touched on this a little bit before. When people make these changes, they by default, they end up not eating anything else. They end up by default not eating perhaps certain other things that may have been contributing more to the problem, aggravating their problem. And you mentioned, bacon and eggs in the morning. Do you have a feeling based on either feedback or dealing with clients perhaps, of what some of those changes may have been?
Well, I have to say that I wrote cholesterol down basically to focus on what foods you could add in that specifically target that LDL, the bad cholesterol, and lower it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what was missing from this cholesterol book was the general background diet, which I think that people are always curious about what the best diet on the planet is
mm-hmm.
in terms of health and longevity, which is why I wrote my second book, Prevent a Second Heart Attack, because that's all about the Mediterranean diet,
mm-hmm.
which I love and adore. And so really my goal was if people could read that second book, they would understand what the background diet, there I talk more about foods that you should cut out as opposed to, and the foods that you should add in, but it's more, I think the perfect way of eating for heart health, again, what all of us on this planet, most of us are dying from, is atherosclerosis, is to follow the steps in cholesterol down on top of a Mediterranean-style eating plan, which I go over in my second book.
One final thing is the issue of supplements. Any thoughts on that? I mean, I realize this is very much of a diet prescription.
Right. And, as a nutritionist, and I'm sure you'll agree, it's always food first.
Mm-hmm.
And then a supplement should be a supplement to a healthy diet. So that's why I like to focus on food. But I do include, there are certain supplements that I absolutely advocate. And in the cholesterol book, that would be the plant sterols. I like to take it in supplement form. I write about vitamin D in my second book, Prevent a Second Heart Attack, and I think that everyone should have their vitamin D level checked. That's a new hot vitamin these days. And although we don't know yet, there's not enough scientific evidence to prove that that if you're low in vitamin D, that taking a vitamin D pill will necessarily prevent disease. But those studies are being done, so I would say the jury's still out on that.
Have you had feedback at all? In other words, someone said, I followed the diet and it lowered my cholesterol and I lost weight.
I get that all the time in my emails. I can't even count how many people have told me that was kind of a wonderful byproduct of following my plan. And I think that's simply because I'm telling people to just get some exercise in and to eat an apple every day, so an oatmeal, because all of those are lower, because, the exercise is going to burn the calories, and eating an apple is just a kind of an easy way to cut down on calories. Eating oatmeal instead of bacon and eggs or syrupy pancakes is going to cut down on the calories. So I think that a handful of almonds is a great snack, which helps with weight loss. So I think that these simple tips, even though people aren't focusing on it as weight loss, will help people to eat less calories and burn more, which is honestly the bottom line.
Brill is obviously very passionate about the topic of lowering blood cholesterol with diet and lifestyle. Her belief is that no matter your age, you can take care of your heart health with diet and exercise. If you want to apply some very effective diet changes to lower your own blood lipids, check out her recommendations. I'm Donna Psyche Feldman, and this is Radio Nutrition.